Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together today to worship you and to open your word up and to hear what your Holy Spirit has for each one of us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and the precious gift of faith he gives us. Continue to work faith in our hearts and our minds today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So today is the third Sunday of Advent, and we call it Gaudet Sunday, meaning it's a day where we're rejoicing because we know that Christmas is almost here. It's just one more week. It'll be the fourth Sunday of Advent. Now this year, we do have to wait that entire week, so it's going to seem a little bit longer because of Christmas falling on a Sunday, but it's a time where we're preparing for the coming or arrival of who? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus. And we prepare to receive Jesus in Advent in the form of this newborn baby. Being prepared and ready is important. There's an old saying that says, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. And how true that is. We see this principle each and every day and just our daily lives. For example, if you're a young man or woman who's a student right now, if you fail to prepare for a test, then chances are you're not going to do very well. Now, some students I know will go, I'm going to pray, Lord Jesus, would you help me get an A even though I did not study? Like, and they do that, but chances are there's going to be a consequence for you failing to prepare. We can do this at work if we have a big presentation or a big project and we don't do the work needed. There's a chance that presentation or project will not go as well as it could have if we would have simply prepared. For Christmas, there are many of us that will have to make preparations. You may find yourself going out of town to go see family, or perhaps you're going on a big Christmas cruise, or you're having family come here to see you. In any of those three scenarios, you have to prepare. If you're going out of town, you have to prepare for what day are you leaving, what's the weather going to be like there so you know what to pack, how many days worth of clothes are you going to bring. You have to get all the gifts if you're taking gifts and exchanging gifts with friends or family. You have to prepare your route. If you're having people come here to visit with you, you have to know, okay, what's my menu going to be when everybody's here? What are we going to have to eat? What are we going to do for entertainment? Do we have all of the sheets changed? We got to clean the house. Where's everybody going to sleep? I mean, all of those things, you have to prepare. You know, it's pretty funny that your house is usually cleaner when people are coming over than it ever is any other time of the year, right? I mean, is that maybe just my house? I don't know. But special food, you got to figure out what to prepare for that Christmas Eve meal or Christmas Day meal. Maybe it's tamales if you're from Texas like me, or turkey, dressing, ham, brisket, ribs, whatever. You got to prepare. You got to go get all that food ahead of time so you don't hit the crowd the week of Christmas. You know, it's taken me all of 13 years of marriage to learn about preparation. I never realized until I got married that people cleaned the house before one went out of town as preparation so that when you came back to a clean house. I never did that. I mean, I was a single person. My house really wasn't that dirty. And with four kids, it gets pretty dirty, right? I never knew how much preparation some foods required before you cooked them. It was crazy. You learn that preparation is important over the years. And this is what Advent is all about, preparation, being ready. The gospel lesson today, it tells us about that the coming of Jesus will be more like it would be an unexpected thing and less like a strategic preparation. So we need to always be ready, because you won't be able to go, well, he's coming in a week. This is what I need to do to get ready. You'll just have to be ready. Jesus tells us, be careful, watch, because you don't know the exact time that I'm going to return. Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples in this text for the next few days, his arrest, his death on the cross, but they really weren't listening. You see, they were dreaming, thinking Jesus would establish an earthly kingdom, that he was going to really make sure things were taken care of here on earth. That yet Jesus took their eyes off of this world and pointed them to the end of the age, when this world and the vanities in this world wouldn't matter. In the same way, Jesus wants to prepare you and I for the events that will lead to the end. We don't want to be ill-prepared when Jesus returns, because the stakes are high. You either have eternal life with Jesus in heaven, or you have eternal life separated from Jesus in hell. There's really no other option. So the stakes are high. And as we begin, or we continue Advent, we anticipate the return of Jesus. We are asked also to think of Advent not just in terms of the baby Jesus arriving onto the scene, but we're also asked to think about Advent in terms of the final advent of Jesus, the time when Jesus is coming back once and for all, showing himself in the fullness of all his glory. He tells the disciples and us, make sure that when I return, I don't find you asleep. Over the years, and especially before I was married to Sarah and was a single man, I took a lot of road trips. And I especially, when I was 19, my parents left Houston. They left me when I was in college. Instead of me leaving them, they just left. They're like, hey, we're out. And they moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana. And so as an only child, during Christmas time, I was like, you know, I want to be with my parents for Christmas. And so I proceeded to get up at 5:30 in the morning one December when I was 19 or so, to drive, to make the 20-hour drive in good weather to Fort Wayne, Indiana. I arrived to around Texarkana, which is both Texas and Arkansas, and there was a big ice storm. And that ice storm proceeded to follow me and become a snowstorm all the way to Indiana the whole rest of the trip. Now, you need to be aware that there's been ice storms in Texas, but when there was, we didn't go anywhere. We had no ice, we had no salt trucks. There was nothing we had. And I'd seen snow maybe twice in my entire life. And so now I find myself seeing the amount of snow I'd seen in my entire life in 2 hours of the journey while I'm driving in it. It like, you know, 6-8 inches of snow on the highway. And I really didn't have an opportunity to be prepared for that, because I had never driven in that. So the only preparation I had was going back to driving school when I was 16, and defensive driving, because I had to take it a time or two because of a ticket, you know. And so I learned, okay, what do you do when your car starts skidding? Let off the gas. Drive slower. Be careful, right? Give more distance. I had to remember all those things as I was driving in snow for the first time for hours. And it was a tense driving experience, especially when those 18-wheelers would drive past you and throw snow all over your car. And you're going, I think the road was straight for that time, and it felt like it was like a minute before your car finally cleared up enough to be able to see. It was a shock. I had to stay alert and focused on that trip. And this is what Jesus is warning us about. Be awake. Be alert. Don't let my return be a shock to your system. You know, it's difficult to be ready. Life tests us. And even in James, in the reading today, he says, be patient. Hold fast to Christ. We can be prepared and patient at the same time. Just waiting for Jesus, being ready. It can be easy to just try to put trust in ourselves instead of Christ. Just to fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus and the things he points to really aren't that important in life, really don't matter. They're kind of irrelevant. I mean, people can easily go in this place where we just go, hey, you know what? It's kind of rainy and cold outside. I think I'm just going to stay home, just kind of hang out at home. There's a fire. There's a football game coming on soon. I'm just going to do that. Isn't it better to do that? I mean, that's where we can go at times. Or some of us are like, man, it is deer season, and that blind sure sounds good right now. Get some coffee, just be out there ready to go. Like that's where we can go. And those in and of themselves, like, hey, having a nice fire at home and all those things and, you know, being with friends and doing fun activities, you know, that's okay. But we have to be careful that we're not asleep at the wheel spiritually. Because sometimes when our attitudes are like, yeah, I'll just stay home, I'll just, you know, do something else, that's when we can be found slumbering and asleep, spiritually speaking. Jesus says, be ready. Don't sleep. Be asleep spiritually. Preparation also means to resist the temptation to minimize or ridicule Jesus' promise that he will return. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter says, the unbelievers will say, hey, where is this coming that Jesus promised? I mean, he's had over 2,000 years to come back. He hadn't yet. Is he going to come back, or is that just something that he said? Like, where is it? Like Jesus saying, hey, don't ridicule it. It's the only promise that he has not fulfilled, and he will surely fulfill it. It's coming. You know, people live as though the world would never end, that they don't have a God to answer to, but we have a God to answer to. Matthew says in verse 37 of our reading today, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man, where people are eating and drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. We have to be ready. So how do we prepare? Jesus tells us in this reading that each person is assigned a task to do. So as we wait, what do? We just live the life Jesus has given us in our vocations, in our daily lives. Whatever the Lord has given us to do at home or in our grace family, in our community at large, in our society, these responsibilities that he's given us are the opportunities God's given us to let his light shine before others in our lives. A man who's a pastor, Trey Sansom, who was at the point here prior to being a pastor and is now planting a church in Conroe, Texas, he coined a phrase for letting your light shine that I want to share with you. He says, we want to provide positive Christian bumps to those around us. Now, what this means is, it doesn't mean that you just bump into somebody and go, hey, Jesus loves you. That's not what he's talking about here, okay? This is what he's saying. It's a positive Christian bump because when you encourage somebody with God's word or you pray with them, you share the love of Christ with them, you're bumping them, if they don't know Jesus, Lord and Savior, closer to Christ. And each of those Christian bumps that they experience in their lives, even if you don't see how they work, they make an impact. And the Holy Spirit can use those to help that person receive the mercy and grace of Jesus if they don't know Jesus as Savior. So we may not push the person in our circles of influence to know Jesus as Savior with that Christian bump that we happen to give, but we bump them closer to Christ as we let our light shine before them. Positive Christian bumps. So be looking for people who you can share a positive Christian bump with this week. By being about our work as believers, we help others be prepared for the King Jesus's return. And as we work, we're to watch every day of every month, of every week, of every year. We are to be on guard so we won't be found sleeping. And so by this spiritual, being spiritually awake, this is what I mean. We live in the grace of the baptism Jesus has given us. We proclaim the Lord's Christ and cross and resurrection. We point to his return, which can be at any moment. We celebrate the Lord's Supper when we have the opportunity to do so. We cling to the mercy of God, knowing we are always in his care, so we can always be ready. Our working and watching as we're waiting are not to be full of fear. Rather, we're called to be hopeful, to be full of anticipation, just like the season of Advent tells us. It's a season of anticipation and excitement because the Lord is coming back. And so we live in the faith that Jesus has given us. And when we do that, with the gift Jesus has given us, you know what? We're prepared for his coming. We're prepared. This isn't rocket science. This isn't high church theology. It's just simple faith in the things God has given us to live in the saving faith he's provided you and me. Let me illustrate this by sharing with you a story that came out of World War II. These events happened in a small village in Poland the day the Nazis came to town. You see, the people in Poland in this small village were gathered in their church. They were worshiping Jesus when the troops of the Third Reich swarmed into the village. They entered into the church. They escorted everyone outside. Then the troops set fire to the sanctuary. The soldiers pointed their weapons at this congregation. But instead of shrinking in fear, these people began to sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." We all know a German, Dr. Martin Luther, wrote this hymn. So you see, the people in the congregation, as well as the German soldiers, they all grew up singing this hymn. The people sang a verse, and then they went on to the next verse, not knowing if the German soldiers were just going to start firing at them. And they truly expected that rifle fire would stop their singing. But the bullets never came. Finally, looking around at the German soldiers surrounding them, they were astonished as they were singing to see their guns lowered and every hardened Nazi face streaming with tears. The soldiers, one by one, two by two, slowly turned and climbed back into their vehicles. They pulled away from the little village. The soldiers left behind a congregation of faithful standing outside their burning church singing. No doubt these words still echoed in their ears. "With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss affected. Before us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is. A Sabaoth Lord, there's none other God. He holds the field forever." What helped these humble believers avoid disaster? Simply living in their faith. Living in the grace of Christ that Jesus had provided them through faith. Friends, beloved, that's for us too. Jesus promises to come back, and he will. We are best prepared for the Lord's return like these Polish believers by living in the faith that God has called us to, that is given us by grace. That's yours. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise.